Ruby Ryder here. Welcome to Pegging Paradise podcast number 195 on April 10th, 2018. Changing the world one ass at a time. So I'm going to jump right into a Patreon update. Woohoo!
Yes.
Scott pledged $5 a month. Scott, awesome. Thank you so much for your support. Paul pledged $5 a month. Paul, I appreciate your generosity and your pledge. Thank you so much. Lewis pledged $5 a month. Wow, Lewis, thank you so much for the pledge. Can't tell you how much your support means to me. Gerald pledged $5 a month. Gerald, wow, thank you so much for joining my Patreon patrons and for supporting my efforts. Trooper pledged $5 a month. Trooper, glad to have you on board as a patron. Thank you so much for your generosity. And Andrew pledged $3 a month. Andrew, thank you so much for contributing support to everything I do at Pegging Paradise. Can't tell you how much this means to me. Wow, this has been another amazing week. You guys just keep outdoing yourselves one week after the next, and I feel warm and fuzzy. I feel appreciated. And that celebratory music pretty much says it all. It's freaking awesome. Thank you all. Okay, let's jump into now favorite toy of the week. Okay, so I talked about this when I went to the anime show, the Adult Novelty Manufacturers Expo, because I was all excited about it, but I finally got mine. So I have to talk about it some more now because it's way cool. It's not exactly a toy, but it's something that you use to keep your toys clean. It's called the Home Play UV, and UV is spelled UVEE. Home Play UV. So what this is it's a box with UV lights in it that you put your sex toys in to sanitize them. And it gets rid of 99.9% of the germs and bacteria. The size of the Home Play is 16.6 inches by 8.5 inches by 5 inches. So I got the bigger size. I was hoping that the Tantus Haas would fit into it, but it doesn't. And you know the only reason that it doesn't? It's because of those humongous balls on the bottom of it. I would have kind of had to squish it closed, and I wasn't willing to do that because, you know, there's UV light bulbs in there, and I didn't want to mess it up. But every other toy I have fits. It's freaking amazing. Inside of the box are three USB charging ports. So picture this. There is a cord that goes from the box itself and plugs into the wall. And then you can actually put three smaller toys in there that are rechargeable, plug it into the USB ports, and they can be charging while they are getting sanitized. It's freaking amazing. It takes 10 minutes to sanitize them, but you can leave it in there longer and the power will go to those USBs and they'll continue charging even after the sanitation cycle is over. There's a logo on the front of the box, and it turns blue when everything's working just fine. If things are not working just fine, there's a LED indicator light on the side of the box, and it goes green if the top bulb's not functional, and yellow if the bottom bulb is not functional. So inside this box, picture a UV light at the top, like the top of the cover, and also underneath. So it's basically getting that UV light everywhere. And not only that, but it's got reflector plates so that the UV light is getting reflected everywhere. And like I said, 99.9% germicidal. So how does it work? The light breaks apart the DNA of the microorganisms that can cause infection, causing the cell to die. So it's an awesome thing. Basically, what it tells you to do is just sort of wash off your toys and, you know, get any kind of residue off them. Just, you know, wash them off, wipe them off, whatever, and then just put them in there. There's no need to use anything else in terms of special stuff or cleaning fluids or what have you. that they are basically sanitized after that, 99.9% effective. So I put three of them in there. I put two dildos that were both the Ergo Mini and the Helio from the Real Nude line, as well as the Trio anal bead plug from B-Vibe. And I used the USB to charge it while it was being sanitized, and presto changeo, just like that, it was all taken care of, which is totally cool. So UV does market a smaller version of this, and it's slightly different. It is called the Go Play, and the reason it's called the Go Play is because it actually will hold a charge. So it has one USB port, so you can actually take it and recharge your toy. Like, so say you use it and you just go crazy one night and then that's it and it's not charged at all. You can plug it in there and sanitize it and charge it without plugging it into the wall. And I imagine this might come in handy if you're traveling, if you're in the wilderness, if you're somewhere that's really self-contained and you don't have power. But the point is you charge up the box, and then the box is what charges the toy from the USB port, and it also does the sanitation. So it's a little bit different, and it's meant to take traveling. I definitely figured with my collection of toys, I was going to need the big one. It has a lock to open it up, and it's one of those things that has three numbers, and you twirl the numbers, and there's a combination. It tells you how to reset it, and they admonish you to write it down and register your purchase with the company and send them your combo. Because they basically said, if you don't know what it is, we cannot help you. So we really suggest that, you know, if the worst should happen, register it with us and we will be able to tell you what it is. I just get mine on 000 because I don't really think I'm going to need it to be lockable or secret. I am thrilled with the UV box. I am thrilled that this whole dilemma of people being so concerned, and rightly so, that they want their own toys, basically. In other words, toys that never get shared with anyone else. You know, one toy per one person. And the reason that people were really concerned about this is because there were studies that showed that HPV, human papillomavirus, of which there are many, many varieties, some of them really bad for you and some of them no big deal, inactive HPV, which can still get you if it becomes active, was found on toys that had been through every disinfection process you can think of. Basically, you know, the boiling, the alcohol, the baking, all of that stuff. And HPV was found on those toys. Now, that finding in and of itself makes a really good case for covering all of your toys with condoms if you have toys that you share. So check out what I found about how HPV reacts to UVC. There is a code for the type of light this is, and it's UV-C. So here's something I found on the internet. This is a peer-reviewed research article entitled UVC Radiation as an Effective Disinfectant Method to Inactivate Human Papillomaviruses. And basically, what they are talking about is medical devices that are not able to be sterilized with high heat because of the nature of the machine that they're using that contacts people, and about how these specific type of machines could potentially be carriers for HPV. The normal disinfectant that they use is a solution called OPA, which is a really intense disinfection sanitizing solution they use in hospitals. And here's what the very last part of this says here. While HPV is highly resistant to OPA, that's the solution, remember, that they use, high-level UVC radiation offers an effective disinfection practice for ultrasound probes. That's what the study was done on, is ultrasound probes that are going inside people. Our results suggest that healthcare facilities using endocavitary ultrasound probes need to strongly consider disinfection methods that are effective against HPV. And it specifically says earlier that it shows excellent efficacy against HPV 16 and HPV 18. And those are the bad ones. So there you go. So This is another reason why I really like the box. I think with the box, we can all relax a little bit about the whole HPV thing and sharing toys, which is nice for me because HPV is all over the place. It's all kinds of different strains of it, but I would hate to think that any toy that I shared between one person and another was carrying HPV, and as a result, they got it. That would be a drag. I'm quite happy with the UVC method of getting rid of the HPV. So the 99.9% makes me feel a whole lot better about all of this. Okay, now I'm going to tell you what's happening with the webinars. So with the webinars, I made a PowerPoint presentation because I realized that you need to see things a little bit better than just me holding them up, perhaps. And there's a learning curve with that and how it interacts with the Zoom platform. So I'm smoothing out the rough edges and I'm getting it going really well. And I even got an offer from one of the attendees of that last webinar to help me with a PowerPoint presentation to make it a smoother integration of people getting onto the Zoom platform and knowing how to use it to its optimum. So they can still see me, they can see the PowerPoint presentation and the chat and all that kind of stuff. So I'm excited, you guys. I'm totally excited. And yes, what I have decided is here's how it's going to go. Pricing for the webinars. Receivers are going to be asked for $15, but please do not let that lack of funds keep you away. I basically just want to spread the word as widely as possible. So if $15 is beyond you, just send me an email, ask for a free pass, and you'll get it. Givers, just send me an email and you automatically get a free pass. If you take the webinar and at the end of it and you feel like you want to give a donation, that's totally fine. But you don't have to, not at all. I want to teach. I want to tell everybody about this way cool thing that I'm so passionate about. I will have a link to the webinar schedule and the Linkorama, but there'll also be one in the drop-down tab at the top under the Learn, or on the right, I'm basically listing the webinars I have scheduled. I'm still doing beginner's ones. I'm not into the advanced ones, but those are coming soon. And I learn something new every time. It's really quite a journey. It's a crack up though, because one of the things that's happening is it's taking longer each time. And I'm not sure how that's happening because I have less interaction with the people. I don't have people sitting there right in front of me in a live class asking questions and things. So I'm not sure why it's taking me longer each time, but it's hard to stick to that hour and a half. And that is plenty of time for me to do a class in person. So, you know, just give me a microphone, I guess, and I'm having a party. But so far, I've gotten some pretty good reviews, people saying that they've learned a lot, and that would be why I'm doing it. Okay, hey, let's go to the letters. Hi, Ruby. I am so glad we found you. My husband and I are both new to pegging and rim jobs and are like little sponges. We traveled recently and listened to a few of your podcasts during the trip. I have a question for you. I am trying to gather information about surgery for anal skin tags. My husband has the cutest little butthole, and mine is, well, I hate it. I have never had children, so my doctor has told me they are from the heavy lifting I did when I was younger. I'm currently 51, but when I was in my 20s and 30s, I wanted to be a competition bodybuilder and lifted weights much heavier than a person my size should have, and because of it, I had problems with hemorrhoids. Those have since become anal skin tags, and I hate the way it looks. I was never really worried about that before, but now it is top of mind, as my husband likes to return the favor, if you know what I mean. Plus, I feel that I do not get the enjoyment out of anal play that I would if they were not in the way. I've tried Googling, but I hesitate to trust the articles I've found. I was going to call the local plastic surgeon, but I'm not sure that is who I would need to call. I am new to blogs and Patreon, so if there is a way for me to find articles about this, just guide me a bit. Otherwise, I would very much appreciate it if you could share your wisdom. Thank you so much. So, cool question. I've never gotten that question before. The very first thing it makes me think of is a couple of podcasts ago, I talked about these guys that did a study about the most common sex toys in different states across the country, right? So, and I was all thrilled because California, the most common sex toy that was Googled, because this is how they did their study, was the strap-on. Well, the guys that did the study are actually surgeons that have two offices in New York and California. And they are specifically, it sounds like they specialize in what you are looking for. I have no idea where you are, but I would imagine that if you called their office or sent them a letter from their website, that they would be able to guide you in the right direction. If you were to contact a plastic surgeon, I can guarantee you that you're not the first person to call in and say, hey, what about anal skin tags, right? I don't know if there are very many practitioners who specialize in that area of the body, but these guys definitely do. It does appear that their practice is exclusively for gay men, but you can always ask for a referral. So that would be my suggestion. But yes, the plastic surgeon people, I'm sure it's not the first time they've been asked. So I would just, as a default, call and say, you know, do you have anybody that you would refer to? Do you know anything about it? But it's certainly worth a try. I don't have anybody to refer you to except for those guys. And I'm going to put that link in the Linkorama. The name of their business is Bespoke Surgical. So I will again put the link for that business in the Linkorama, and I'm quite sure they have an email contact of some sort. And then I'm going to talk to you a little bit about perhaps looking at this in a different way, because there is this kind of big movement about making your asshole pretty. There's bleaching it, there's getting the hair off of it, there's removing the skin tags, there's removing the hemorrhoids. And the thing is if they don't interfere with function and they're not painful, if you have surgery on them, there's always a chance that the scar tissue will make things worse in terms of sensation. You could lose sensation instead of gaining it. You could end up with scar tissue that interferes with anal penetration. There's a bunch of different things that could happen that would be results that I'm fairly sure that you wouldn't want. My question would be, does it bother your husband? And if it doesn't bother him, I would suggest you taking a deep, deep breath and trying to let it go, because surgery is a big deal. And even if it's surgery of removal of skin tags, anal skin tags, surgery is surgery. There always carries a risk, just like I said about the potential things that wouldn't turn out the way that you wanted them to. Now, if it's something that bothers him and bothers you, and it just is, you know, something you can't forget about, and if surgery is the deal, then that is the direction you decide to go, and I support your decision. But if you can just be okay with it, imagine the lack of expense and just saying, this is my ass. And I did heavy lifting when I was younger, and that's awesome, because we all age, we all get older, and it's okay. It's really okay. So if it's okay with your husband and he thinks you have a perfectly lovely ass, then I would encourage you to be okay with your perfectly lovely ass. Certainly, if he had those skin tags, how would you think about it? Maybe that's a different way to think about it. So anyway, that is just my, you know, thing I wanted to put in there, give you a bit of a different perspective. But do what feels right to you. And that is all the information I have, sadly. I don't know anything more about it than those Bespoke Surgical people, or just ringing up your local plastic surgeon and asking for a referral to somewhere. If anybody has really specific information about that kind of stuff, who's listening, perhaps you've had surgery to have them removed. Perhaps you've had a good result, a bad result, you know, gain sensation, loss sensation. They were a problem, they weren't a problem, you know, all of these different things. I invite you to please share your story with us and what it was like for you to go through that surgery. Thank you for writing in and the question. I appreciate it. Okay, I found this one on FetLife. I love strap-on play and my wife will do it, but she just isn't into it that much. I'm wondering if you could help me with a strap-on that has a vibrator in it that will rub up against her clit. We have a Hitachi wand that makes her come really well. If she could come while pegging me, it would be so much better. Thank you so much, and this is from Buck. So Buck, I am going to put some links in the Linkorama for you. And if she is a Hitachi wand woman, then you may be able to get a vibe in there that'll give her some pleasure. I'm not sure if it'll make her come or not. I am a magic wand woman as well, And even the best vibe in there is not quite enough to get me there, but at the same time, know that a large part of having an orgasm is what's happening in your head. You know, if you get excited enough about the situation, you can have an orgasm no matter what. So we're all a little different in that way. Just because I can't get there with a vibe doesn't mean she couldn't get there with a vibe. She will certainly have a lot of pleasure. And then perhaps when she's done pegging you, you could grab that magic wand and finish the job, or she could. Anyway, I'm going to put links to a couple of different things. If she is a woman who enjoys G-spot stimulation as well, then I recommend the Fuse Tango, and the Tango has an insertion hole for a bullet vibe, and I recommend for the bullet vibe the Wee Vibe Tango. So both of those are going to be in the Linkorama. So if she's not a G-spot woman and she's all clitoral, that is how she comes, then you might want to get one of the Fuse singles, and I'll give you links to those as well. Those are not double. They won't go inside of her, but they absolutely have the same insertion point for that vibe. And I think those are the best toys for getting clitoral stimulation while pegging. I really think that that's true. There are different ways to do it. You could put bullet vibes inside the little pockets of the Jacques harness and stuff, but I'm not a fan of that because that ends up being a hard thing between the dildo and me and my pubic bone. So I'm not a fan of that, even though some women do enjoy it. And anyway, I'll put all those links in the Linkorama so you can take a look at those. And that would be my best suggestion for you, sir. Thank you for the question. And this guy I found on Facebook, his name is Paolo. Hey, Ruby, may I ask your opinion on Fieldos? Are they better than strap-on? And if yes or no, why? Many thanks. Okay, so here's the deal about Fieldos. Fieldos are one of the first doubles to gain momentum. They're the most widely known. They are the first brand name that people think of when they think of double-ended dildos that you use for pegging, okay? They were called strapless strap-ons incorrectly, and I'm going to put a link to my article, The Truth About Strapless Strap-Ons. For over 90% of women, they cannot hold them in without a harness, even though they advertise them as being strapless. And you can read that article and find out all the reasons why, but that doesn't mean that doubles are not a good toy. Doubles can be a perfectly lovely toy. One of the advantages of them is you have more tactile feedback. When you are sliding that dildo in and out of him, there is a corresponding pressure inside of you. So you have a little bit more feeling, if you will, of what you're doing because you have a connection, more of a connection to that toy because part of it is inside you. So criticisms about the Fieldo. The Fieldo, I feel, is too rigid. The angle of it was made for lesbian strap-on sex from vagina to vagina, and this is pegging. So the criticisms I have heard have been that because of that inflexibility, it limits the positions you can comfortably do with pegging because it simply won't bend and be flexible enough to be used in a variety of different positions with pegging because of that rigidity. I've also heard that the vibe insert is kind of worthless. There's too much material between where the vibe goes in and where it comes up against the clitoral area. So that's what I think about Fieldos. And you can just go right to the Linkorama and take a look at the Fuse Tango, which is my favorite double in replacement for the Fieldo. And make sure that that bullet vibe that you get with it, if you get one, is the Wee Vibe Tango. It's the best bullet vibe in the world. It is stronger than any bullet vibe out there. It's rechargeable. It's waterproof. It's an amazing thing. So there you go. That's what I think about Fieldos. Are they better than strap-on? Well, they are strap-on. So I hope that answers your question. Go read that article and it'll tell you all about it. Okay, here's my next one, and this was also from Facebook. Hi, Ruby, how are you? I have a question for you. My girlfriend pegs me every so often, and I'm so thankful that I found a partner that will indulge in it for me and actually enjoys doing it. When we do it, it's very passionate and sensual, and that alone turns me on so much. I really want to orgasm from it hands-free, and I'm not sure exactly how to do it. I've read things online, and I know you kind of specialize in this sort of thing. I was curious if it would be possible for me to have a hands-free ejaculating orgasm and how we can work towards that. Thank you very much and have a good one. So, and this is from Jake. So, Jake, here's the deal with hands-free orgasms. Not everybody can have them. It's kind of like women who can orgasm from being penetrated only with no clitoral stimulation. About 30% of women can do that. And my best guess from being in this so long and talking to all these men is that about 30% of men can do the same thing. However, the same thing happens with G-spot orgasms as it does for prostate hands-free orgasms. And that is, you can be pegging for a long time and go, well, I guess I'm just one of these guys that just doesn't do the hands-free orgasm. Oh, well. And then one particular night, you know, the stars align and holy crap, you have a hands-free orgasm. Here are the things that I know that help you get to that hands-free orgasm space. First, abstinence. You need to abstain from having an orgasm for days beforehand. Depending on how sexually active you are depends on the number of days. I think if you're used to jerking off every day, the waiting about 3 days ought to be good. If you're used to jerking off once a week, then don't jerk off for 3 weeks. And sort of judge that if you can from those ratios, but abstinence beforehand is good. Not just abstaining, but sort of teasing yourself, which is called edging. So you want to jerk off and bring yourself right up to the edge of orgasm and then stop. And if you can't stop, then have your partner do it and have her bring you right up to the edge, and you are supposed to tell her when you're just about ready to come. If you really can't keep your hands off yourself, then we're talking about a chastity cage. But, you know, the point is, edging really cranks that whole system up and gets you overly ready and very sensitive so that when you are pegged, your prostate is very sensitive. The job of your prostate is to fill up with prostatic fluid, and that is one of the fluids that combines with your sperm and comes out of your body as ejaculate. So there is fluid building up. This is why you get that feeling of pressure. This is why when she puts her finger in there, she can feel her prostate more if you're really excited, is because it's filled up with fluid. So it will be very filled up with fluid, and that prostate will be really sensitive. So that will help. Another thing is that I've been told at a specific point when things are feeling really, really, really good to try clenching that outer sphincter. And that sometimes really increases the intensity of the feelings and can send you over the edge. And last but not least, don't touch that cock. Just leave it alone. Just don't even touch it. You can do play beforehand as long as you don't have an orgasm. You can even do PIV. She can give you a blowjob. But once you start pegging, don't touch it. And have yourself in a position to where it's not touching anything else as well. Like maybe face down on the bed is not the best position for this, because you can kind of rub yourself on the bed and get off that way. So those are the things that I know. The only other thing I know is there's a guy who wrote in and said that he had bad allergies and he was taking this allergy medication, Claritin D, that has pseudoephedrine in it or something like that. And what that does is it does something to the blood vessels that basically gives you erectile dysfunction. You can't get hard. So when he took this, because he couldn't get hard, for some reason it put all the focus on the prostate. I mean, I certainly know men who say, when you're pegging me and I'm getting prostate stimulation, don't touch my dick because it's a distraction, because it's a different kind of pleasure. And then there are also men that it turns them on so much they can't keep their hand off their dick. But the point being, it's a different place of pleasure. So if you want to try the Claritin D, you know, that might be something that'll get you there as well. Those are the things that I know, and good luck to you, and please do let us know if you get there, sir. All right. This is one from FetLife. Good morning, Ruby. I appreciate your work, as my play partner and I are beginning to explore pegging. We have done some prostate massaging and bought a double-ended dildo. Upon reading your site, I see that it's for a limited percentage of the pegging population, and it didn't work for us as well. She was too wet, and it would slip out. It was about 7 inches long and 1.5 inches in diameter, but very stiff. We were considering the Vixen Mustang, Bandit, or the Sensa Dual Feel dildo, the Sensa being much more inexpensive. The Mustang has that beautiful curve for prostate stimulation, and the Bandit being a little thicker. I would like your recommendation. I was concerned about making sure she enjoys herself as well, which is why I originally picked the double-ended dildo to stimulate her. Because it didn't work, I was also asking your opinion on how women enjoy the Jacques harness with the bullets, because she enjoys clitoral stimulation much more than penetration herself, so the bullets might be a big addition. So you, sir, need to just back up a couple of letters and listen to what I told that guy. You know, the double-endeds are not a bad thing. You just need a harness with them. And the one that you have, you don't tell me the brand, but I would almost bet it's a Fieldo because it's so stiff. The Sensadual Feel dildo is not a quality dildo. It's made by Blush Novelties, and Blush Novelties makes some toys that are not the best quality in terms of being porous, and this is one of them. It's made out of TPE. TPE in and of itself is not toxic, but it is porous. It can harbor bacteria, so I wouldn't recommend that one. You really need to get 100% silicone toys for your toys. So yeah, it's cheap because it's made with cheap material, basically, so I wouldn't recommend that. The Vicskin dildos, any of those are awesome. And the Vicskin ones, again, are the dual density, just like that dual feel dildo thing I just talked about. And the dual density is awesome in that it has the softer outer core and then the solid inner core for functionality. So that softer outer layer is rather forgiving, if you will. And if you're going for that, because the one that you bought is really, really rigid, yeah, that one is more rigid than pretty much all of them. I can almost guarantee you have a Fieldo. So you don't have to go to a really soft toy. Vixen Creations makes Vicskin, which is the dual density, but they also make a whole bunch of really nice silicone toys as well. If you're looking for clitoral stimulation, it's the same answer as I've given just about everybody on this podcast so far. And I don't think that those toys will be too firm for you. I really don't, because they're not all that rigid. They're kind of a medium rigidness, and they are by far the best for that clitoral vibe area. You can try the Jacques harness with the bullets, but like I say, I'm not a fan of it because it puts a little hard thing in between me and the bottom of that dildo, and then I end up, you know, having to be careful when I fuck him because it's a hard thing. It's a hard metal thing, right? So yeah, there's that. Some women swear by those little vibe pockets, but I don't know very many of them, to be honest. And if it works for you, awesome. But I'm a firm believer that the design of the bottom of the Fuse dildos, and I'm going to put a link to all the sizes in there. There's the Harmony, there's the Alpha, there's the Wild, and I think there's one more that I forgot, but that's a smaller one that's like inch in diameter for beginners. So I'm going to put the links to every single one of the Fuse singles, so you can click in and take a look and see which one you think you like the best. Vixen Creations does sell some dildos that have a hole in the bottom, so you could put a bullet vibe in there. That is not the best way to stimulate your clit, because it basically makes the bottom of the dildo vibrate, and it really depends on how responsive she is. If she's really responsive, it could be that that's enough to get her off. But if she's like we talked about the person before earlier in the podcast, and myself, if you're like the magic wand type of need that kind of stimulation to get you off, then you can get a lot of stimulation from these vibes, but you're not going to get off necessarily. It's a game. It's kind of a game to play. Plus, you have to have a harness that fits that right against your lady bits. The nicest part about the few singles is that there's no other place to put that thing. It has to fit against your lady bits. It's got this lovely marquee shape that kind of nestles in between your lips, and it is convex. So it kind of curves out into that vulva area. So that is what I would recommend. There you have it. Please make sure you get yourself a good harness to hold those toys in. I don't know what you have, so I'm going to put links to my two favorite harnesses, which would be the spare parts harnesses. The Jacques is one of them, and there's also some lovely panty style ones. Every single one of those spare parts harnesses has the pockets for the vibes, every one. And Aslan leather is the very best you can possibly get. You can cinch those toys down so that vibe will stay nice and tight against her clitoral area. And the Aslan Minx is really pretty with a corset back. The Aslan Jaguar is very nice without the corset back. All those links are going to be in the Linkorama, so click on through them and see what you like and let us know how it works. And you know, you are a perfect example of why I got pretty indignant and intense with the makers of these doubles that keep saying they're strapless. Because this is exactly what happens. This is exactly what happens. You get one, it doesn't work, you're disappointed, and you write me. You don't write the maker of it. You don't write the Fieldo people, right? You don't write the Fun Factory people and say, hey, it didn't work, what's the deal? You write me. And so I told the makers, please stop calling them strapless because you guys are wasting my time and it's not the right marketing. It's false marketing and you're not doing your customers any favors. Read that article about the truth about strapless strap-ons as well, because doubles are an awesome thing, but you have to be realistic about it. And 90-some percent of the women out there absolutely need a harness. So depending on the double that you have, if it's too rigid for you, I totally get that you wouldn't want to use it anymore, but it might be a decent toy to use once you have a harness. So there you go. Thanks for the question. Okay, here's one I got from the forum. From all the kinky people I have talked to, this has not happened. A new sub of mine had his first experience with prostate stimulation and or ass play. The toy was not large, maybe 2 inches around at the head. I manipulated the toy while he was coming, and afterwards he was in horrible pain. He said he felt like his balls were in his stomach and went to throw up. Can anyone explain this to me? This has never happened, and I do not want it to happen again. Thank you all. So I wanted to read this on the podcast because this is like adding to the knowledge base of the community. This is like crowdsourcing. I've never heard of this either. I'm a little confused about the measurements because something that is only 2 inches around is a very, very thin dildo. That would be like a little over half an inch in diameter, which is really, really small. In fact, I know of almost no dildos that are that size, except maybe the beginner's strap-on kit, the starter kit with Tantus, which has two way too small and two short dildos in it. The first one is like the size of your finger, so you might as well be using your finger. So the point being, 2 inches round at the head. I don't think it's 2 inches around, and if it's 2 inches in diameter, that's a big toy. That's a really big toy. So I question the measurement because that's a critical factor here. But even if it's a big toy, assuming that you were doing foreplay, adequate foreplay, and that you were going slow and not too fast, you would have been able to judge if he was capable of accepting a toy of that size or not, whatever the size of the toy is. And I'm assuming that you would not have pushed the case if he was saying it's too big, it hurts, please stop, or something like that, or acted like he was in pain, whatever kind of dynamic you guys have. Anal is not the place to experience pain with pegging or insertion. It doesn't sound like that was your intention because you are so concerned about what happened afterwards. And to be honest, I have never heard of this before. My first thing would be if the toy was a pretty much a normal size that he could accept, a fairly small size toy, then because you said, you know, he's new to this, right? It was his first experience with prostate stimulation and ass play. It could be that the emotional, the emotional effect of being penetrated for the very first time can be really powerful for men. Sometimes they can get teary-eyed, sometimes they can get emotional. I've never heard of a man throwing up before, and I'm so sad that happened to him. But I'm thinking a large part of it may have been emotional, because if he has bowel movements and he doesn't throw up, then something going inside shouldn't cause him to throw up either, as long as you were decently gentle. You mentioned that you were manipulating the toy while he was coming, but you don't really describe what you were doing or how hard or what angle or how deep, and you don't tell me how long the toy is either. The only other thing I can think of is it may have been a reaction to you bottoming out with that toy and hitting that second sphincter that separates the rectal canal from the colon. And that could cause some pain, and that might be something that could cause him to have an intense reaction like that. But I really welcome anybody else who knows anything about this to write in and let me hear your story, please, so that I can pass it along, because that's kind of all I know. And I'm right there with you, not wanting it to ever happen again. So thanks for crowdsourcing, and I'll do the best I can. Okay, here is another one. This one, I have to confess, came to me via text. It's some friends of mine. Oh, I love the texts that I get. And they don't know that I'm going to put this on my podcast, but I'm not going to identify them anyway. So here you go. I have a question. My boyfriend is 6'5", and I am 5'6". He wants to be pegged from behind. We tried it doggy style, and I was too short. I had him spread his legs as much as he could, still could not reach. Any suggestions? Oh man, do I know what that feels like. Absolutely, because I'm really, really long from my knee to my hip, and when I was wanting my boyfriend to fuck me from behind and he had kind of short legs, it was just impossible, so I totally get how that doesn't work from that direction, from, you know, him being the one with the long legs. So here is what I would recommend. The feeling of being taken from behind is what I get that he wants. So there is this way to do this from behind that's kind of behind but slightly sideways. And I will post a picture of this or a link to it up on the Linkorama. But he's going to be lying on his side, okay? And his top leg is going to be bent at the knee. So he's going to be drawing that top leg up a little bit. And that's going to create a space between the bottom leg of his, which is straight, and the top leg, which is bent. One of your knees is going to go between his legs, and the other is going to go behind that straight one. And because you are shorter from your hips to your knees, you should be able to balance on his hip and fuck him from behind just like that. It's called side saddle, is what I call it. So I'm going to make sure that you have a picture of that so you can check that out. And another suggestion I have that you might want to try does involve accoutrement. It is the Liberator cushion called the Ramp. He can be laying over that and it'll push his butt up in the air and present his ass beautifully, and you will be able to fuck him with him on that, because I think it's going to raise him up about 6 or 8 inches. So that should be just right for you to be able to either get between his knees or maybe even your legs. If he put his legs together, you might be able to even put your knees on the outside of his legs, depending on if that works. But those ramps are amazing, and you will end up perhaps laying over him and fucking him, but it'll still be from behind, and it may still give him the feeling that he wants being fucked from behind. So those are my suggestions. You can send me a text and let me know how it goes. Oh, I love my life. Okay. So now I'm going to talk to you a little bit about something that's come up recently from a bunch of different directions, and just do one of my Ruby things about a certain area that has to do with pegging and some thoughts I've had about it recently. The main concept is men accessing their softer sides, if you will, okay? So we've talked before about how men are not allowed those softer sides in our society for the most part. They are expected never to appear weak. They are expected never to appear feminine. And I've really come to realize how much this affects pegging. I first came across this whole idea when I was watching Brené Brown's TED Talks, and I'll put the links to both of those up there. This is going to be a freaking huge Linkorama this time, you guys. And she has one about vulnerability and one about shame, and they're both amazing to watch, and I think they're like 20 minutes apiece or 15 minutes. Well worth your time. But she mentions how men in our society are expected to always be strong, never ever appear to be weak. So Weakness is conflated with vulnerability. I've talked about this a fair amount on the podcast. So here's the deal. We are all a balance of masculine and feminine. But because men are not allowed to express their feminine side much more stringently, there's more constraints. The constraints are stronger that society puts on men who express their feminine side. They get more blowback than women do if they express their masculine side. Women expressing their masculine side might be called bitchy, or maybe there might be a sexual orientation slur. But in my opinion, men get it worse. You're never supposed to be anything but masculine. But you know, where's the balance in all that? I've heard more than one man say, I just want to feel pretty. I want to be told I look, and then, you know, you can insert an adjective in there that is normally not used for men. Beautiful, pretty, gorgeous, sweet. And I believe this came up when we did the Crossdressers podcast. But men are not called those adjectives. It always has to be this masculine adjective. And so I've heard men say, I just want to feel pretty. I want to be told I look beautiful. I want to feel like my feminine side is not only accepted, but desired as well. And I want to get fucked. So given that this is the situation with society's constraints on men, what kind of number does this do to a man's head if he decides to try a sexual act that has this intensely strong gay connotation, first of all, and he's being penetrated, which is usually seen as feminine or gay, and he probably knows that most of his friends, if they knew, would give him endless shit. So, okay, I'm going to do some generalizations here because we're all different, but in general, givers have a steeper learning curve because they're not born with a cock and they have no idea what it takes to fuck someone. So that's like a physical learning, like a body thing. And it's not to say that there isn't an emotional component attached to strapping on a cock for some women, probably the ones that see gender roles as much more rigidly defined, but often the physical part is what makes the learning curve so steep. Receivers, on the other hand, the emotional component, I believe, can be the larger factor more often because they are working towards getting past the connotations and the fears of what if anyone found out, because it's not seen as a masculine act at all. There is pretty much nothing about pegging that can be seen as masculine. And in our society, men are always supposed to have that veneer of masculinity. Stepping across that line and doing things that are out of that narrowly defined area and doing cool things like decorating and cross-stitching and knitting and sewing and wearing pink or bright colors, going to the opera. Now, those are stereotypes, but also wearing skirts or kilts, wearing makeup, cross-dressing, maybe being exacting about your hygiene and clothes and surroundings, like what is called a metrosexual. All of those things and more that I don't even know about because I'm not a man, but all of those things, someone might give you shit about it. That's a whole lot of stuff. And in general, this is applying to older people because the younger generation, especially out here in California, they don't really care. They really don't. It's so refreshing. It's so beautiful. I can't wait to see what these people are going to grow up to be like. But I don't know, maybe 30 on up. Yeah, they still care. And depending on where you live in the country too, where you live in the country and where you live in the world, certainly, even though I'm less acquainted with the norms in other areas of the world, you know, in the middle of the Midwest, sure, those social constraints are going to be pretty intense. So here's the deal. There are women out there who have a hard time allowing their men to have any feminine side whatsoever. And it just makes me really sad. It seems as if these women are really quite invested in their partner upholding the illusion that no part of them is feminine or weak. And they sometimes have a very hard time with the whole pegging thing because they put those judgments on it. And I get really sad because basically what you're doing, if you hold a line like that, is you are requiring your partner to play a role for you because that's what you're comfortable with, instead of allowing them to be a more complete and whole person. Can you imagine what it might feel like if you just wanted to snuggle up in an extra soft, cushy blanket with your partner and be held for a while, and you had to beat back that longing and not even ask for it because it just isn't done as a man, and it's a part of the role that you have to play, that you're always strong and masculine, so that your partner sees you the right way, I guess is the way to put it. And people can be really intensely invested in these roles, and so I'm kind of trying to shake things up a bit. I have a lovely friend on Facebook who is always sending me these things about men wearing skirts and dressing more like women, and I love it. It's something that's happening more and more across the world, and I hope that people really embrace it. You know, clothing is just something you put on the outside of you. Anyway, I encourage the givers out there to think about all this and to try and allow some space for your receiver's feminine sides. You know, they have a feminine part to them. They are part of the whole person. And let's say maybe they make noises that sound more feminine during pegging, or they beg you to fuck them, or they get emotional during pegging, or they want to look pretty and feel pampered, or maybe they want to wear frilly purple panties that caress their dangly parts because it just feels better than the underwear that's made for them. Please just take a pause and reflect again what it might feel like if you were not allowed to be who you truly are and you just had to chop off a part of yourself and never express it. It would just be awful. So let's talk about me for a moment. I have more masculine energy than a lot of women. I've had to learn how to soften that a bit in my interactions with other people. My mom was a really strong woman too, so I had a good model there. And have I been rejected by men for not being feminine enough? Sure, but that wasn't the right person for me. I need to be me before all else. If I want my hair to be purple, I'm not going to sit here and think, oh, but what would a potential date think? Maybe they wouldn't like it. I'm going to make my hair fucking purple. And that freedom to be exactly who I am is worth far, far more on a day-to-day basis than living a life where I'm pretending and playing a role in order to attract a partner. So, okay, I can make my hair purple, and I can have kind of a masculine attitude and a dominating sort of controlling attitude, right? I can do that. There are women out there that are like that. And again, I'm reminding you that they get far less blowback than men who appear feminine or not masculine and strong all the time. They get a whole lot more blowback than I ever will. The freedom that I have is exhilarating. It feels opening and expanding and relaxing because there's no pretending, there's no censoring, there's no building walls to satisfy those around me. And you know, of course, there's limits of socially acceptable behavior, like bad language when in public and stuff like that, especially around kids and stuff. You know, you gotta be okay. I remember when my daughter was little and I would take her in the stroller down to the little mini mart. And there were these young men standing out front. I would guess that they were probably in their early 20s, and they were kind of rowdy. And I'm coming up with the stroller, and their language is just flying. They're like, fucking, fucking, Allah. And I said, gentlemen, if you wouldn't mind, and I gesture towards my daughter, and I say, there are tender ears here. And they immediately just straightened up and kind of went, oh my gosh, we're so sorry, ma'am, we're so sorry. And it was really sweet. So yes, there are limits to socially acceptable behavior. But what I would love to see is those constraints being lifted as far as the rigidly defined gender roles. They're becoming so tedious, and they're interfering with a bunch of stuff, and they're interfering with the pegging, and it's not okay with me. So I'm not going to change the world overnight, damn it. But you have the choice in your relationship whether those social constraints will continue to apply when you are with your partner in private. Take a look at the situation. Do the frilly panties make him less strong, less able to protect you, less of a provider, less of a man? Of course not. They're simply items of clothing that allow him to embrace his feminine side and be a more whole person. And once again, I think it's at least 3 or 4 times now that I have put the link in the Linkorama to the interview I did with Mark the Marine. And so for Mark the Marine, I'm going to put the picture of his favorite purple frilly panties up for this podcast, because I think it just needs to be seen again, and it fits with what I'm talking about here. And the guy's an active U.S. Marine. He could kick pretty much most people's ass. Jesus. So the point is, embracing your feminine parts can actually be a healing thing, a strong thing, a thing that takes a lot of courage. And so I want to encourage all the givers out there to really think about what your reaction to this is going to be if that's where your partner goes. So let me tell you a story. This is a couple that I know, and she said that they took a long drive down to LA, and they went to an event, and it was an event that they were helping put on, and there was a lot of work to be done. There was equipment to be loaded into vans. There was the van to be driven in LA traffic. It was intense, and her partner was like a Sherpa the whole time. He was just doing what needed to be done in that masculine, amazing way that guys can do sometimes. And when they got home, he said, okay, look, I know you're tired, but I really need some balance here. And will you fuck me, please, just for a little while? And he put on lingerie and asked her to fuck him because he needed that feminine. He needed that healthy balance. The extent to which this man is aware of that side of him, and he has embraced it, and he's with a partner who absolutely not only allows that part of him, but appreciates it, is astounding. They're models for me. I love those people. And I know I keep talking about panties and lingerie and things like that, but that's just because they're some of my favorite things. There's many ways feminine sides can be expressed. And feminine can also just be another word for a softer side. Men aren't even allowed to have much of a softer side. The side that wants to be held once in a while and not always have to be the strong one no matter what. I hear this echoed so often from men. Something along the lines of, I'm in control all day long. I run things. I'm in charge of things. And I just want to let go and not have to be in charge for once. I saw this thread on Reddit. A woman wrote in and talked about feeling bad because her partner told her that even though they had sex once a week, he would masturbate sometimes. And she said, why don't you just have sex with me? And he said, because masturbation is simpler. And she wanted more, and he demurred and masturbated and kept their sex to once a week. And she was hurt and didn't understand it and was coming to Reddit and saying, you know, what's the deal? I would not be at all surprised if part of the reason is because he has to be in control and run the fuck every damn time. So do you get a chance to just have that softer side be there and not have to be in control and in charge when you do your regular sex? Does that happen sometimes? So that's another example of that balance. And this is just what I suspect is the case, but it sounds like it probably would be. And let me read you one thing here that I found on FetLife too. I find that as far as pegging goes, I'm weird. I don't want to be dominated. I want a woman that, like you, and he was in one of the threads that I posted, finds pleasure in fucking a guy in the ass and giving him one of the more intense orgasms that he'll ever have. When I look for pegging videos, I'm looking for ones where it looks like a romantic relationship more than a domination. It is my opinion that the reason so many people go for the domination aspect of pegging is because everyone is afraid if they like pegging, that makes them homosexual. I like pegging. I'm not a homosexual. So I had to read that a couple of times before I found meaning in it. And I'm just finding the meaning that I think this person meant. But along these lines that we've been talking about, are there men out there perhaps that grab that edge of domination and want a partner to dominate them and whip them and do all of the BDSM things so they can like be a man and they can take it like a man? Instead of potentially having her romance you and it being a sweet fucking of your lovely ass and holding you in her arms, maybe that is a reason that people embrace domination. I don't know. I've never thought of it that way as being a more acceptable way to get pegged because of the whole masculine thing. So that's another thing I'm interested in feedback about. What say you, crowd? What crowdsourcing people out there? What say you to that idea? That perhaps the reason people embrace dominance in pegging is because the softer, you know, total receiving, vulnerable, hold you in her arms thing is just a little too far afield from what the masculine man feels like he has to be. Is that true for you? Of course, it's not true for everyone. And all of this is so individual. And of course, that's how it should be. I met this guy a while back, and I think I've told this story before, but here we go again, because I've done a lot of podcasts, people. So he and I got together, and he said he wanted to explore BDSM, and it was a spur-of-the-moment thing, and we were basically talked a lot on the phone, and we decided to spend a weekend together at this kinky event at a hotel. And we go there, and he didn't really know which side of the slash he fell on, so to speak. And when people say that, that means they really don't know whether they're dominant or submissive. They're just kind of feeling like they're kinky. And I said, look, you know, the worst that can happen is we go, we have a good time, and we, you know, the chemistry doesn't work, but we're friends, so we'll be fine. So we go to the dungeon the first night, and he's watching all the people doing their different things, and it's quickly apparent that he definitely relates to and is much more excited about being in the role of the giver rather than the receiver. So he's definitely more leans dominant, right? And that didn't mean that we couldn't have any sex or anything like that, but what it did mean is a lot of discovery for him, because he said, I'm kind of figuring out what I want, because I really like anal play. I really want the whole pegging thing. But what I want is I want a petite feminine woman who is pegging me because she knows that's what I want and she wants to please me, as opposed to a woman who wants to take me and possess me, which would describe me more. And we laughed a lot about that. I mean, there was even a moment when we were kissing and standing at the end of the bed, and I pushed him down on the bed. And later the next morning, when we were sort of debriefing and talking about things, he said, so most time when women push you down on the bed, you know, if you're a guy, you just kind of go, oh yeah, she pushed me, so now I have to fall, and you just kind of lean backwards, right? He said, that wasn't the way it was with you. I was going down. So I pushed him pretty hard, I guess. And the point of this whole story is that our dynamic didn't work together because he needed that submissive, leaning woman to be with him. And that's an example of how everybody is different. Point here is that we should all be who we are in this wild world of pegging. And I know it's not that simple, but there is no one way. I encourage you all to allow your partners that freedom if you can. Can you imagine how it would feel knowing that you didn't have to wear a mask at home? I've been primarily talking about the receivers, but what if the giver wants to like wear a packer and dress in men's clothing at home, and that would be something totally socially unacceptable in the rest of their lives? What if home was the only place you could really be yourself with your partner? Wouldn't that be just about the most rich and deep experience ever? Imagine that. Wow. The freedom to be exactly who you are with your partner. I think that that's what we all dream of, is unconditional acceptance and love. So yeah, all right, that's the end of my monologue here. And part of this came up because of some of the chat that's been happening at the chat channel. There's a lot of vulnerability and a lot of sharing, and I'm just pleased as punch about the whole thing. It is a safe place. It is a non-judgmental place. It is a place where you can be whoever you are in the pegging formula, and you're totally fine. And it's been lovely to watch people open up, start to talk about things, become vulnerable, despite entering into the chat room going, I don't know about this, I'm pretty shy. And people talk about their hopes and frustrations and successes and pretty much anything at all. The level of acceptance there is pretty intense. It feels safe. So I am going to make a request, though. It'd be really nice to have some more women there. There's myself and another lovely woman who I am quite sure we were like sisters from another mother or something, because we are a lot alike. She's awesome. But please join us. And if you're already a patron, look at your messages and find the invites, because I've invited you to the chat room, or send me a message and I'll send you another one if you can't find it. Or if you're listening and you're not a patron, if you click that become a patron thing in the right-hand corner, support my work, become a patron, for just $1 a month, you get the 24/7 chat room, which I just talked at length about, the Patreon feed, which has things that the people who follow my blog will never see. For example, I just put up a pinup pic of me. I was practicing my pinup pics in the bathroom, and it was kind of sexy. It showed my boobs, a fair amount of them. And you will get the podcast a day early. And if, you know, seeing most of my boobs doesn't get you to the chat room, of course I am inviting the women. Ooh, forgot that. But the bisexual women might be involved, and now I have come full circle. Point being, a buck a month as a patron is going to get you there. And we'd love to have you in the chat room. We'd love to equalize that out a little bit more and have more givers. Plus, you're going to have the knowledge that you're helping me keep all this going. All the information, the chat room, the webinars, and all the work I put in to fight the shame and the misconceptions and help people out when they walk down this path of pegging. So there you have it. Thanks for listening, everybody. You can find my work at peggingparadise.com, where I have my blog, my podcast, my erotica, and the forum. There's also pegging101.com that has informational pegging articles only with no kink. My podcasts are available through a variety of podcast downloader apps. You can find those sampling of those under the tab Follow on my website for both Android and iPhones. You can also stream my podcast directly from the website if you want to. The Follow tab has links for you to subscribe to my blog, follow me on Twitter, check out my Facebook page. And if you click on any of those links and decide that a toy is a must-have from Entice Me, please do not forget that coupon code RIDER for 15% off of your purchase, RYDER, and send your questions to ruby@peggingparadise.com. No question is, what letter of the alphabet am I going to choose this time? Let's take a hard one. No question is too quizzical, too queer, or too, that last Q word is stumping me, or too quirky. That'll do it. My listeners are going to learn along with you, so throw those questions in my mailbox or call me at 805-500-6544. Thank you for downloading and listening, everybody. You rock. Happy pegging.